Welcome to Cash Considerations, the podcast that takes you behind the Las Vegas sportsbook from the guys that actually work behind it, with your hosts, Alan Berg, Dave Sharapan, and Matoy Pearson.
Ladies and gentlemen, Cash Considerations is back, and oh my goodness, the NFL is here. I am so excited. There's finally a sport on the show I can really talk about betting. But we do have my man Mo, who had a great week in college football, here with us tonight, and we'll definitely be touching on that as well. What's going on, Mo?
Hey, what's going on, my man? It's been a somewhat of a long week since I got back from Cali, man. But I've been excited for all the games since Thursday, and ready to just jump into all this stuff, man. Go over the games.
Absolutely. Yeah, you sent me a nice video of the mascot for USC going down the field, and you were pretty amped.
Yeah, no, I was thinking about running down there, man. I was a little, I was further up the stands. Hot day out there in Southern California, man. But it was a great day watching UNLV cover and seeing that horse, man. It brought me to the next level. You know what I mean?
He was flying.
He was soaring through the. I thought he was just going to keep going out of the stadium. I never seen him just stop. I don't know much about it, but he stopped in the end zone. People are going wild. I'm like, well, just hurry up. I need to watch the rest of the game.
Oh, man, beautiful. Well, as a precursor here for the listeners that have been with us for a long time, we are going to do a big three. However, my design for this one will be that we're going to have hopefully two episodes this week. Crossing my fingers. If not, I guarantee you we'll bring you a big three later in the week that'll just be big three, quick podcast kind of thing if it doesn't go to plan as I'm planning on right now. So first we're just going to kind of go through the slate of some things here and talk about the sports appropriately. And then maybe we could squeeze a pick out of Mo's, pick out of me. We'll see how things go. But we're definitely going to get into some interesting stuff when it comes to line movement and things like that. And so stick with us. And as I said, for those that loved the big three last season, we will definitely be bringing that back. It should be on the next episode. It should be out either, I'm thinking, Thursday or Friday. So be looking for that this week. But Mo, let's start with you, man. 4-2, I believe, in the best bet section from the last podcast, correct?
Yeah, from what I can remember, man. But, my memory is pretty brutal, so. I'm assuming that it's pretty good, so the plays were decent. They were decent.
Right.
Yep.
So before we kind of jump into this week's slate, is there anything that really stood out to you from, whether it was the play on the field, the spreads that you saw, good takes, bad takes, anything you want to address to the people?
Just for last week's stuff?
Yeah, were you surprised Notre Dame bashed Michigan, or were you surprised this team covered, or whatever you might want to throw out there?
It's just kind of going back on it. Obviously, I was in California, so I was trying to keep up with a lot of different stuff. Mostly just myself. If we want to start it, just from a general aspect, that Tua got the start against Alabama and, did what everyone thought he was going to do. He played, exceptionally well. And took care of business against Louisville. I mean, it's just rough to bet against Alabama in the first week against anyone. You know what I mean? So, them winning by X amount of points was fine. Obviously, the Notre Dame game was a shocker to me. Not too much of a shocker, but to see Shea Patterson play so poorly. I think we got to look at Dylan McCaffrey, a guy that's backing him up. That's Ed McCaffrey's son, one of his 46,000 sons that play football. He's going to end up playing, for some team in the NFL soon. But, just going down the line, it looks like the SEC is kind of getting the most hype. You can kind of go down the line from, all the way from Alabama to Vandy, who covered against Middle Tennessee State when Middle Tennessee State was the third consecutive year where they were the sharp move and then got absolutely smoked. So everyone's on SEC. Utah State taking Michigan State to the wire, just like App State taking Penn State. That was big. Terrible for the Big Ten East. Nebraska, Akron didn't get to play. I didn't get to see my guy Adrian Martinez play. They got that game going on some other time on the FS1. My Heisman ticket on Adrian Martinez is losing value by the day. so there's like I think that's like a lot of the stuff. Hawaii continues to keep it rolling. They blow Navy out. The line goes from 17 to 10, goes up to 12, 13, becomes a sucker's bet. Hawaii rolls. So the Cole McDonald Heisman still chugging along there. FAU gets pummeled in Oklahoma. Kyler Murray runs around them like he's going to be running around the bases for the A's here shortly. Absolute smoke fest. Yeah, I mean, you know, those are kind of most of the things that I kind of seen. And then a lot of the FCS stuff. Kansas loses again. That's not really big news. and then, yeah, I mean, that's, I guess I can close it out around there if you got any other points, my friend.
Right on. I was not impressed with my Hurricanes, which, as I said to our boy Matt Lindemann, that I thought number 8th ranked team was a typo, which – me and you had the pleasure of watching that game together at work, and you know how I feel about the QB play there. So,
yeah, no, it's funny. You know. I was just going over Saturday stuff, and I'm remembering everything now. So Thursday, the Northwestern play, my first official one that wasn't Wyoming, which was the week before, was good. They score 31 in the first half against Purdue and then score 0 and still end up covering. That's a miracle. Mm-hmm. And then my Friday plays just went to trash.
Yeah.
So Wisconsin doesn't cover. They were knocking on the door. San Diego State, same knocking on the door. Just kind of blowing it late, man. So yeah, fade my Friday moves. If you don't follow me on Twitter already, I think that's going to be a reoccurring thing here. Not even a gag. It might just be the truth here. We go back to Monday, and I was telling you, we liked LSU this whole time. I was telling you. And then we get to talking all about this stuff about LSU's offense. I'm like, screw it. I'm going to play Miami, even though sharp guys are playing LSU. And then I took that long walk, and then I came to almost just an epiphany where I was like, I think I knew what happened. Miami threw it, the only reasonable answer for the game itself. I mean, no, you're right. No, Rozier was just – I know obviously me and you were watching it. We were working, and the guy's just sailing the ball over, you know, all of his receivers' heads. I'm like, is he doing it on purpose?
He's
like,
just not good, man. He's just not good. I mean, I get it. You get there with a certain guy and all these things, but, man, just the accuracy from this kid. I mean, it was, you know, it was apparent last year.
Yeah.
So when I heard he was going to be the guy again, I was very worried because I just didn't feel like he's the type of guy that can consistently hit the receivers. I mean, he's missing wide open guys when they were kind of making a little bit of a run.
Yeah.
If he makes a few of those throws, even that, you know, they might have been able to cut it to a score, and then who knows what happens. But the comment about the fix was incredible. I mean, it got a nice reaction in the room, which was great.
Oh man, I stand by it. I stand by that, man. And you weren't, unfortunately you weren't there, but one of the plays that we also gave out in the last week's not to mention the games that we did play on Saturday, Marshall, UNLV, UNLV ended up covering their live. Sick. Mm-hmm. And then Marshall +2.5 beats Miami, Ohio outright. Miami, Ohio should never be played by anyone. I'm going to say that here right now. and then the last one we gave out was Virginia Tech, who absolutely stomped Willie Taggart in his home opener with Florida State. I don't know if you caught that. Did you catch any of that?
Oh, I caught that. Yeah, they were taking it to them, man. They didn't look good at all, Florida State, which I love.
It's hard for me to really even think because obviously Taggart, is implementing his new offense and he's got a lot of check down stuff and he's getting the ball out of Francois's hands real quick. But, you know, when they got into the red zone, I mean, there was like, you know, just, you know, we're not coaches or anything like that. But, you know, you see stuff where you got four guys in the backfield. You don't got a QB. You got, you know, you're trying to do a misdirection fly sweep at the 6 yard line. Like they should understand. They should know what's going on. Like if you're down 14. You got to just stay, you know, play it. You know, if you're going to be in the red zone, make sure you know what you're doing when you're going to be calling those plays because it basically costed them the game. I mean, they couldn't do anything in the red zone, man. They were getting crushed.
That's true. That is definitely on point, man. Let's take a quick break here, and then we'll jump into some this week's stuff. We'll touch on college football first, and then we'll start talking about the big leagues, Mo, the NFL.
Yep. Kind of the big leagues, but. You know.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, and we're going to dive in a little bit to week 2 of the well, I guess it's technically week three, which I hate those stupid, you know, two games and they want to call it week one, but whatever. let's take a look here at what we're looking at. You know, I think we kind of should stick to the formula that we had going before, Mo, if that's all right with you. Kind of just touch on some top 25 stuff.
Sure.
And yeah. And then, you know, you can give us kind of what your thoughts are. And then, you know, you can feel free to say you have a lean or whatever, and feel free to say that you have a play. And then later on in the week, as we talked about, we can get your best three plays on the next show.
Yeah. All right? Yeah, sounds cool. Good. Yeah.
So we're going to start with Friday, September 7th. We got number 16, TCU at SMU.
Yep.
Looks like TCU is about minus 21.5, I believe.
Right. I think, I think it went down a little bit today. Some guys took some SMU 22.5. So okay. It looks like it's kind of falling that way offshore.
Right on. What are your thoughts on this matchup? TCU, you know, coming in with the win, they slaughtered some poor school,
I think it was Prairie View
A&M.
Was it Prairie View? Was it Southern?
I think it was Southern, yeah.
Oh, I think Baylor played Prairie View.
Yeah, TCU
played Southern. Yeah. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, that's it, man. Yeah, feel free.
Yeah, so I think we already went into the season knowing that Sonny Dykes was going to be the coach for SMU. I mean, he coached that bowl game last year against La Tech and absolutely gets just crushed. But he comes in, seems like he comes in with the same mentality defense, which is there is no mentality because he doesn't, I don't know if he cares. I can't say if he cares or not because obviously, like, North Texas comes in and they got a great offense with Mason Fine at the helm. And they were a 4-point dog going into the game, which, you know, should be competitive with two high scoring offenses, but you can't just let the other team get out on you with the quickness, Dykes. You can't do it. I don't understand. I mean, I was looking at the score. I couldn't understand what was happening. I mean, I don't know if anybody was covering any of the receivers, but this is just a North Texas rant right here in SMU. It has nothing to do with the game. But I think we're going to see a lot of that here. I'm hoping not, but TCU comes in. I think Sean Robinson is the guy that took over for Kenny Hill last year, and where their offensive line loses a lot of structure, a lot of veterans gone there. They just got the skill guys to kind of shadow that out. So it's going to be a tall task for SMU defensively, man. I mean, they got to get the holes plugged up. Seems like a lot of points. You know, even though SMU kind of battled back, and their offense is pretty decent as well here too. For me, I haven't really looked at it as much. I can't really say I have much of a lean. I would say over. I think that's more cliche, but you know, I'll wait for these next couple of days to see if looks, because maybe taking the points here seems okay, but hard to trust a man who never really coaches defense. That's true, man.
Seems to be a fair take with those big totals on the board.
Yeah.
All right. So next up, I got for you back moving into Saturday here. We got number 18, Mississippi State at Kansas State. Look like about a 9.5, I believe.
Sure.
One of the 9 a.m. games. I don't know. What do we see here? I mean, is Kansas State got any shot of being in this game? I mean, you know, it's a pretty sizable dog at home, I would say.
This is a team that I've been high on for years with Bill Snyder coaching that team up, especially at home. But, you know, I think the line obviously has to kind of just manufacture what happened within this last week. And they look terrible against South Dakota, man. You know, just another FCS school that kind of, you know, brought their A game. So K-State had a, you know, get out ahead and you know, get that much needed win. But for Miss State, they get out, they absolutely dominate. Joe Moorhead does great. And the team absolutely, you know, they exploded on offense. Just one of those SEC schools we were talking about in the earlier segment. It's like the perfect thing for me. Cause I like K-State here, like getting the points. I wouldn't go so far to say it's a mortal look ahead game, but it's right in that realm. Cause right now we're going to get back at home here for K-State. You know, a lot of people are going to be seeing Miss State pressing like 50, you know, in their win. But they come in here, it's going to be a rough game. It's going to be a rough environment for Mississippi State. I think they were a 3-point favorite to start out with in a lot of the game of the year deals. Even here at Caesars, we had them at 2.5. So, I mean, we're looking at a 7-point differential. I lean K-State still, even though offensively they look terrible. But you know, at home, it's something that I'll pride myself on, even if I get smoked. I don't care. Alan, you know me.
I do that. I do know that. You will not care. All right, my man. Next up on the list, we got Western Michigan headed to number 21 in brokenhearted Michigan. shout out to Case.
Yeah. Case already likes Western Michigan. And like I said, it's another moral hedge, and I hate it. But he might be right. Western Michigan just gets stomped Thursday against Syracuse. I think they lose by 20 there to Dino Babers, coach team there at Syracuse. But they get a couple extra days to think about it. You know, watch their opponent, Michigan. Because they played early in the week, they get more of a rest here, and then have to play. It's an in-state rivalry game at the Big House. Michigan, it's tough, man. I mean, they got to go back to the drawing board. You know, even against an opponent like this, it's still a big game for Western Michigan. So from the intangible standpoint, hard to really figure out who's going to bring what, you know. But at Michigan at home with the fans and the crowd there, it should be big. But it's so rough. Western Michigan can play offensively. So getting points here, especially in a spot where people might take Michigan because of a big loss, that's kind of a way to look at it to an extent. I think Shea Patterson should be a lot better. Caron Higdon had only 70 yards on 20 carries with Michigan. He should be better in that aspect. But the only other guys that really matter for Western Michigan, defense is not too much, but Wasnik, the quarterback, and then they got a couple backs that can probably keep them in the game, stay around that line. I don't see Michigan jumping out big here, but I see them getting a win maybe by 17 to 20 points. So I'd probably go Western Michigan in the rivalry game just to stay away from a lot of people taking Michigan for the reason of them just losing right there in a big game.
Right, yeah. That makes sense. I mean, usually you're actually catching, I would say, at least a point or two in these games where, you know, they're going to factor in the fact that it's a you know, quote unquote quality team playing against a team that's not as good. So they might have actually boosted the number a little bit, just knowing that they're going to want to respond after the loss to Notre Dame.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And Syracuse has a more up-tempo offense. So I think that could have caught Western Michigan off guard, just assuming, because Eric Dungy is a solid quarterback. And I don't want anybody to think Syracuse just got 55 for no reason. So, I mean, I'm looking at an offense that's still somewhat in shambles. You know, Notre Dame, no knock on Notre Dame. They're great defensively. You know, if Michigan goes up 28-0 in the first quarter, then people could just stop listening to me.
They'll be back for the entertainment, man.
Yeah, that's good enough. That's good. Yeah, there we go.
They'll be back. All right, my man. Next up, we got New Mexico heading to Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin is one of the teams that killed me. My God.
35-point favorite yet again.
Yeah, back at home. They're getting another team that's, you know, just on the back end of things. New Mexico, they got a Samoan quarterback. I want to just let everyone know. Tavaka Tuioti. And I didn't even have to look it up. I already knew this guy played last year. So that's just – I'm going to go with that off the rip. I didn't see New Mexico play. I can't even lie. I'm not even sure who they played. I was so locked in on that Wisconsin deal going on when they played Western Kentucky. It just looked like, you know, more of a dress rehearsal type of deal. They kind of got Taylor out. They let him run. Wisconsin had some bad turnovers, which kind of surprised me. Some fumbles, some small stuff that you can get cleaned up during the season, nothing crazy. They still went in dominant fashion, 34-3. Don't cover the 34 or the 37. Word to my man that bet all those parlays with Wisconsin on it, got smoked. Hey, man, we can relate, dog. We can relate.
They're calling him the duffel bag boy.
I seen, dude. You seen that, yeah. Alan, I seen it, man. I was like, who is this man? Let's meet this man. Can we get him on the cast?
I said,
what does he know?
I got another name for him in a couple weeks, empty bag boy. You can't go around betting things like that over and over again.
Dog, he's crushing. I think
that's insane.
This week he came back with, I think he came back with Whiskey, Ohio State, and Boise State.
Yeah,
and total with all the
three teamer, according to Nick Bogdanovich. Yeah, Will Hill.
Yeah.
On the VSIN. Gotta give him a shout.
Does he have any relation to the Bogdanoviches in the NBA? Oh, dude, I don't know, man. I don't know.
Oh, man. Dude. Incredible. So, integrity.
Okay, so, so Whiskey, where they played a little bit slower, I think, right now. They're kind of getting their footing. New Mexico is just hoping that they can keep it within, just not getting embarrassed. Obviously, that's any team, just to let you know. But Bob Davie is obviously the coach for New Mexico for the Lobos. So, I mean, he's not any stranger to big games. So he'll have his guys ready. They won't lay down. But, you know, like I said, man, I mean, Western Kentucky had plenty of chances at the goal line to make it a game. They went four and out, fumbled at the one. I mean, these are things that good teams do. That not too many people realize or remember, but, you know, even in a 34-3 game where they had it sealed up, they made it like that. They did it because they're that good. So, you know, if they can get some more chances to get out and run and get Hornibrook, you know, confidence to throw, maybe this might be the blowout game that I thought it was going to be last week. So I'm going to go under. I don't even know the number. I just think under seems good here. I don't know if New Mexico is going to be able to get out much. But, you know, Wisconsin's just they're a rock, man, and defensively seems like they're going to be solid here.
Beautiful. All right, next up we got UCLA heading to Oklahoma. The Sooners laying 30. UCLA got embarrassed at home by Cincinnati. I don't know if that's embarrassing or not.
Yeah.
You'd have to tell me. Oklahoma, of course, waxed Lane Kiffin and FAU, the one team I gave out, which was FAU. So, again, don't listen to my college football takes.
I hear you. No, it's, you know, it's kind of just two teams that were on the back end of some stuff here. Also, another game that they've probably had circled. I mean, UCLA's big. They've probably been, you know, steaming this up. Some of the kids that were younger knew they were going to play this game, you know, on the schedules already. So, as soon as I heard UCLA was going to start Spate, man, I hated him, like, immediately. And that was the transfer from Michigan who played for Jimmy, Jim Harbaugh, right, for that time being. So, you know, like, they got a lot of other guys there. They got Dorian Thompson-Robinson, and then they have I forgot the other cat's name. But he played behind Rosen when Rosen went down, and he had some pretty decent games on the way out with Mora before Mora went out.
So you feel like he should be gone?
Yeah. Oh, Monster. Yeah. Monster is his last name. Yeah. So okay. Him and Robinson. Yeah. I mean, these guys I thought would actually, because Spate, he didn't run as much. You know what I mean? And seems like Chip Kelly always has more of an athletic guy there at the helm to run the offense that he usually runs. So these other two guys can run. And they can pass just as well. You know, Robinson's a little bit younger out here from Bishop Gorman. But, you know, on the other side, because they have so many questions, it's Oklahoma, you know, wherever they play, I mean, at home it's rough. But, you know, Lincoln Riley just seems to have his offense going. And the guy's a genius, man. I mean, you know, whatever FAU thought they were going to be defensively coming into the year, they're probably not thinking that now. Like, I'm assuming, man, you're going to let someone put up 60 on you. So just between that, Murray, I think Anderson had a great game too. And, you know, a lot of them kind of, you know, the guys that were up throwing the white flag because they were up by so much. You know, it's just another big game for Oklahoma in the Big 12 to get out and, you know, prove something. So UCLA has to travel here. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, it's Norman. At Oklahoma. Yep.
Oh, man. Sure. It seems 30-point favorite?
Yep.
It's hard for UCLA. Like, no one – I don't think anyone's going to bet UCLA off a whim. You know, it's going to be all square Oklahoma.
Sure.
No lean on the side, but I'll join the squares, and I'll probably bet over as well somehow.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right, the next three I'm going to give you kind of rapid fire so that we can get to kind of the more important ones. Actually, the next four, apologize. We got – you know, four more blowouts here. This is only week two of college football. So we've got Ark State, Alabama laying 37.5 or 36.5. We got Rutgers, Ohio State's laying 35.5. Ball State, Notre Dame, 34.5. And lastly, UConn, Boise laying 31-32. And we just talked about the bag boy, the duffel bag boy, doing the parlay with Ohio State. And, Was it Oklahoma? Was that right?
Wisconsin and Ohio State.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, Wisconsin. That's right. Wisconsin, Ohio State. So, of these four, Do you feel like there's one here that is a legitimate 30-point favorite that probably wins by 50?
Oh, hold on. Wait, hold on. I apologize. We had Ohio State, Rutgers.
Yep. Ball State, Notre Dame, UConn, Boise State, and Arkansas State, Alabama.
Boise State absolutely unloads on Troy. I think I love Troy in our last podcast. No apologies. But I don't care. No, they go back home, and UConn's got to travel after getting absolutely slaughtered by UCF. So don't be surprised to see Boise absolutely try to just crush UConn out the gate here at home for their home opener. Yep. That one I can see. On the flip side of the 30-point favorite, I got two. Lindemann's, by our knowledge, I think Notre Dame hasn't been a true 30-point favorite since 05. Wow. And obviously it was at 13 years from then. So, I mean, even off a stat like that, it's hard to back a team, obviously, who beat Michigan. I don't know if it should be that high. You know, if you can grab 35, 35 and a half for the Ball State, I think you're actually looking pretty good there. I don't know how far Notre Dame can run up a score, but Ball State might be good. And then Alabama, who's played over the years in, you know, the like weeks two and three against the Colorado States, Fresno States, you know, just a bunch of the mid group of five teams. They never really get out on them as much, you know, even as like 30, 35 point favorites, they'll win a game by like 20, 25, call the dogs off. They're not trying to embarrass anyone. They're just trying to get better themselves. So a team like Arkansas State is going to challenge anybody in the Sun Belt and basically anybody in the country should be a team someone should look into getting all those points. You know, it's just with Tua Tagovailoa, you never really know what you're going to get offensively since they got an offense now.
This could be the Jalen Hurts game where he plays more because they don't want to embarrass him. And then
that's
not
what I
score
that,
as much.
Yeah, Alan, that's what I was thinking. I was talking to a couple mm-hmm. people too, and we were saying like Tua's going to get out, you know, a couple drives, you know, maybe a couple scoring drives, maybe a three and out. And then, you know, if they can get up like 28-6, you know, whatever. Like, yeah. late, you know, like second
Yeah, I was
going
to say like 24-3 or something.
Yeah, it's like that. Yeah, so, and then, you know, Hurts is going to take over and you know, no one's going to say anything because that's just how.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, cool, man. Well, we got those blowouts covered. Let's get into some better stuff here. This is, you know, kind of, I guess, one of these scenarios, but the spread's a lot more manageable here for it to have, I guess, somewhat of a take. Number two, Clemson heads to Texas A&M, laying 12, 11.5. Again, I've mentioned I'm not a huge college football guy when it comes to the betting aspect. I do like watching it, but I just don't have the history and the betting acumen of really giving you guys proper plays. So I just look at this line and I think, why are they only 12?
Well, yeah, no, it's pretty actually interesting to even see. I think Kellen Munn got the start there in Jimbo's first game, and they were spectacular. They looked good under Jimbo. I mean, everyone was rocking. You know, they played a lighter team, Northwestern State, I think. But they got it going on the ground with Travion Williams. And, yeah, I think they were – I got some things about them throwing to the tight end a little bit more. And this is just all off memory, obviously. As far as it being 12, it's hard to say. It's on the road. I think the way that it kind of scripted out itself, I mean, from like an analytics standpoint is, you know, if Clemson's at home, they're probably maybe 17-point favorite at best, maybe a little bit more, maybe three touchdowns. Between 17 and 20, I'm assuming. But like I said, you're getting your first look at two teams week one. They both get it done on both sides. You know, even if Clemson's only going to be laying a couple touchdowns, who's I'm assuming the second best team in the country. You know, it's just, I just think it's more from an analytic than what it actually should be in general for both teams.
Fair.
did you want me to give you a take on the game?
I mean, you're welcome to. You can save it as well. I just looked at that line and I found it to be puzzling. I mean, I can't imagine Jimbo has everything together there that quickly. I mean, he couldn't handle them in the ACC. So what makes us think he can handle them with a brand new program?
Yeah, no, I got you. I believe that. Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, just the players that he got, I mean, they're a little bit – Florida State had – they had enough talent as it was, but on the way out, it kind of got a little shaky. But Texas A&M, they do got some guys that he can implement the same offense or the same system that he had to at least make it run. But, I mean, it's just against anyone in general. Like, if they play Clemson, it's just – tough to get a defensive, like, basically four or three guys on their defense that are going to the league,
right?
So, you know, that just in that, it's pretty rough. And obviously I don't have a take, so I do apologize for even asking.
No worries. All right, we got four to go here. I'm gonna pair these together and you can tell me if you feel like one or the other makes sense here. We got Maddie Lindemann's boys, Kentucky at Florida, getting 14.5 or 14, depending on where you go. And then we have number 13, Penn State, our boy Dave Sharapan's boys, laying 9, 8.5 at Pitt. You know, first thing that pops up about these two games is Lindy will tell you how much he loves the Florida game. And two, Penn State, I mean, wow, they were incredibly lucky to survive Appalachian State.
Yeah, no, it was And like we already brought up, even watching Utah State up late on Michigan State was pretty funny as well. But I'll start with the Kentucky one. Kentucky is actually one of the games I do like plus 14. They were kind of in a chess match against Central Michigan, a scoring barrage. Florida plays a FCS school. I don't know if it's Charleston Southern, I'm assuming, and absolutely waxes them. So, you know, it was a big tune-up game for Florida, and Kentucky was kind of getting their wills going into this game. But I like plus 14 here. I don't know what's it been, games in a row they've lost or something.
I don't know.
In a row to Florida. It's just surreal, man. Like, yeah, the number of games. And last year's game they played in out in Lexington out in Kentucky, they were up the whole game. And the only reason why they lost was two busted coverages where they didn't have a guy on the Z and the X receivers outside, and it was just a quick snap and he threw it to him and the guy was running for like a 20. I mean, it's almost surreal how they lost that game. But here I think they got a little bit more. It seems like Mullen, Dan Mullen, the coach of Florida, seemed like he had things rolling for him. And they were going pretty wild. I faded Florida all year. Hard to fade them now, but I'm willing to take 14 with Kentucky to start it off.
Nice.
The Penn State game, on the other hand, I just don't know how Trace McSorley always does it, man. Somehow he just pulls him from the death and, you know, kept him going. It's almost unreal. But big ups to App State, who was actually a sharp play. Or Penn State was the sharp play, and App State came out and Jalen Moore, which I actually took Jalen Moore off the team in the last one, and he didn't even leave yet. He's actually still playing, so more mistakes coming in hot for me. But, you know, it's just a game where I think App State got up. I've been down on Penn State this whole time, and where Penn State and Pittsburgh play usually every year in a rivalry game. I'm not a stranger to taking 9.5 at home with Pittsburgh if I can get the chance as well.
Nice. All right, well, we got a couple left here. Number 15, Michigan State, laying 6.5-6 at Herm Edwards and the Arizona State Sun Devils. I don't know if you caught the Arizona State game, but they look like they were a pro offense and just letting it fly.
Yeah, they got one of the best receivers in the country, N'Keal Harry. And yeah, I don't know if you've seen that run he had where he caught it. It looked like a little 6 yards hitch route. Caught it and you know, basically did the cut it across the grain, went across the field. You know, they were just toying with them. It was the first play of the game. They also had a Piesman touchdown, Fat Man touchdown. Shout out to the fat homie. And that was a sick little touchdown. And they played defense and they played well, which is one of the big things because UTSA lost a lot. They lost Dalton Stern. They lost their Davin, he went to the Saints. He was their big defensive cog. And
Davenport?
You know, I just totally ejected on that word. I apologize. And then thank you for cleaning that up.
Oh, yeah. But I'm here to help.
Yeah, I watched enough of the game to, you know, understand how where I was wrong, and even liking UTSA for a minute in that game. But Michigan State, like I said, they struggled. They got to go on the road. Big game. It's hard to lay 7, you know, on the road. I think it's down to 6.5. But where people might look to Arizona State because they beat a team like this pretty handily, I think Michigan State will be, you know, ready for the cause. So don't think laying 6.5 is out of the realm, but I think we'll have to wait a couple days to kind of figure that out.
Cool. All right. And then I got circled as the two biggest games as far as at least the top 25 goes. We got number 3, Georgia, going to number 24, South Carolina. Georgia's laying 10.5, 10. Gamecocks seem to be a little bit of a sleeper team, maybe, that could do some damage. What are your thoughts on this game and on the South Carolina?
Yeah, I love South Carolina. It's actually one of the plays that I like coming into this week as so far. Looks like the line's moving up. I think it opened 9, 9.5. Now it's at 10, 10.5 at some places. But I like Jake Bentley, and they got the best receiver, some say the best receiver in college football, and Deebo Samuel. That's the guy where I said I wish my name was Deebo. And I stand by that statement. You know, Georgia's just a thoroughbred, though. I mean, they can play any team, you know, make 42-0, 52-0 look easy. So can't really locate on where Georgia is talent-wise, but they're talented everywhere. You know, not to the eye test. It's just something that we knew coming into the season. So this is a big game for South Carolina because it's a challenge for the East. The SEC East, I mean. So, you know, at home, big game for Muschamp. They look great against Coastal Carolina, who we faded as well. We had South Carolina minus 29.5. Yeah, it's crazy they got to play week 2, and I'll say it right now. It's a hot take, but I think South Carolina is going to be in the game at the end, and I think they're going to win the game if that's fine.
Woo!
So when they lose, we'll get back to it. But otherwise, yeah, that's going to be my hot take for now.
Very
I know
nice.
Georgia's been waiting, but I like some South Carolina right here.
Okay, fair enough. Last one on the board, we got number 17 USC at number 10 Stanford. Stanford looking at kind of a lot of different lines around town right now. We got 4, 4.5, and 5.
Yeah,
I mean, I guess this is going to be one of these games where we're going to have popularity on both sides, would you say?
Yeah, no, for sure. And I think that's how it's been for the last maybe 2 or 3 years. They've played, I think the last couple of years, they played week 2, you know, which is interesting because Stanford, I can't even remember, but they've been opening up with some tough conference games or tough non-conference games. And then they got to end up playing USC, which counts in, you know, in the conference, the Pac-12 as it is. So, yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of money on it, a lot of popularity on it, possibly on the dog USC. USC struggled against UNLV early. JT Daniels started his first game. Didn't turn it on until about the third quarter, but I was where people were more impressed with JT Daniels throwing downfield accurately. I kind of thought that USC defensively got to Armani Rogers enough, and you know, they kind of stuffed them on the ground when they needed to late in the game. So you know, where people think USC kind of looked a little bit bad, I think they were kind of in the same boat. San Diego State kind of got off San Diego State got off on a good foot against Stanford, and then Stanford kind of figured it out. And man, this combination between KJ Costello and that JJ Whiteside Arciaga, I think Costello threw for 330 yards, and Arciaga had like 275 of those yards, man. So, I mean, we're looking at something pretty big here. It's a big game for Daniels, so he can become a household name. And then Stanford to, you know, get back to winning the Pac-12 North like they usually are in. So no side. I don't have a side really here. I lean more USC, but Stanford looks real, man, with that offense. So I could probably just leave it right there.
Right on. All right, everybody, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back with some NFL. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so for the finale tonight, we're going to go through the NFL Week 1. We'll just briefly touch on every game here, and then, like I said, we'll give you some more detailed Big 3 picks later. Big 3 will likely be from Mo in college football, I would assume. Is that correct, Mo?
That
Perfect. All right. And then I will bring in another homie to do some NFL with me later in the week. But until then, let's just briefly go over this stuff. First, we have the Thursday night game, the Philadelphia Eagles hosting the Atlanta Falcons in a rematch of their playoff game. You know, this one's been crazy. You know, originally I think they thought Wentz would be back for week one, and they're just taking it cautious. Thought they'd have Nick Foles. Nick Foles got banged up in the preseason, and then he just didn't look all that good. So we've watched the line fall from 5.5 Eagles down to like 2.5 and even 1.5 in some places. My first reaction to this is that if I can lay 1.5 in this game, I will. It's just too big of a move for me from just worrying about preseason games. I mean, Nick Foles, I feel like, has tricked everybody before on this. You know, I'm not exactly crazy about the Eagles, but it just seems too big of a move. You have any take on that, Mo?
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of looking more at the total that dropped. I think I don't know if it opened 47, a little bit higher, obviously because of what the offenses seemed like they were going to be, and now they seem like they kind of lowered down to 45 everywhere. So not much of a take on the side. I actually like what you were talking about. If it stays around 1.5, I can see us not taking Eagles because of the move itself. Definitely in agreement there. Yeah. You know, it's not a big indication where the preseason kind of, you know, chooses you to see where the teams might be in the season. It's, you know, not even close. The offenses look both ways. Were absolutely terrible. I mean, Jesus Christ. Holy smokes, man. I mean, if we want to go to that Browns-Eagles 5-0 game, you know, we could do that. We're not going to do that.
No, we're not.
I don't want to ruin this segment for you. I apologize with preseason football. But, yeah, no, I kind of agree with what you're saying there. I haven't really looked at much, obviously. I mean, do you like the Falcons much coming into the season? Or
yeah, I do. I think they learned a lot in the second half of the year. I think Sarkisian got better with how they were structuring their offense. I actually was kind of leaning towards the Falcons in this game with the point spread, but obviously that value is just gone.
Yeah, dead and gone.
So it's not, that's what I'm saying, it's not necessarily a game that I'm crazy about, but it just seems disrespectful to take on an entire 4 points off a team. It's their home opener after winning the Super Bowl. I feel like they can give them enough of a game where they're going to be in it for a chance to win a 1.5 point game. But yep. With that said, you know, the Falcons were there last the prior season, you know, and didn't get it done against New England. So I'm sure they have a chip on their shoulder and it might be a little bit bigger than the Eagles. So it's an interesting game, but one that I think's more of one of those, maybe you throw in a small parlay that's much lower than your regular bet and just hope you got the right side in total kind of thing.
Yeah, just get action. It's the first NFL game.
It's don't the mess around. Get action. There you
yeah,
go.
Yeah, don't mess around.
I like it.
Let's do it. We're doing it. So, you know, I'll let Alan continue. My bad.
No, it's perfect. I love it. All right, so next up, I got Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Pittsburgh Open is a pretty substantial favorite, 5.5 and 6 in most joints. All of a sudden, this line's down to 3.5, 4.5. I can only speculate that people are worried Le'Veon Bell's not going to play. There was word that if he didn't come by tomorrow, that he probably would not play. So, you know, he's given them no indications that he's showing up tomorrow, meaning they'd be going with James Conner at running back. This one for me is a stay away only because Pittsburgh always seems to play down to their competition. You know, I had the Browns in both games against Pittsburgh. First time points winner, second time money line. Thanks, Corey Coleman, for dropping the ball on fourth down. So to me, like, man, this is Pittsburgh's MO is to play down. Now, they might raise up on the fact they don't have Le'Veon and really rely on Big Ben in the passing game. Cleveland just has to prove it to me before I truly believe in them. I do think offensively they'll be better, but it's hard for me to put my money on Hugh Jackson with 1-31 on the charts.
Oh my God.
So what are your thoughts there, Mo?
Ridiculous. Well, I think I was reading something about Fitzgerald Toussaint getting a tryout with the Steelers. So I said, I mean, Jesus Christ, what is this coming to? No hate on Toussaint, but I mean, what is this coming to? But the game in itself, you know, it's kind of the same, man. You see a lot of these home openers in the AFC North, and It's tough. It's a, you know, it's a rough game. It's a big game, obviously, for the Browns. Why wouldn't it be? All these games are big. I couldn't even think about taking a side, but I'm still leaning Steelers. Like, I couldn't take either side. I wouldn't even give it out. But I'm still thinking Steelers here with a lower line, even without Le'Veon. I think defensively they're still, you know, just as good. And you know, with the Browns coming out, and I know they're fired up after, you know, kind of playing with their new pieces on in the preseason. The Steelers just get it done, man. So I like the Steelers still personally, but wouldn't bet it though. I don't think I could.
One thing I want to touch on for early in the season, like we are here, is that, you know, for the people out there that are trying to get better at this, to try to learn, you know, how to properly handicap games and stuff. One thing I would very much suggest is before you see the lines for week two, make your own numbers. Like, figure out if you think a team is a field goal better, a touchdown better. Start from there. And then start making little adjustments on how you feel about their home field, their quarterback, their head coach, all the various factors that you could possibly build into lines. And I'm telling you, that alone will help you get better at picking games. It's something I've been doing for a long time. And, you know, I'm not right about most of the lines. But it gets easier as the season goes along. You really start to get in a groove. And I think it helps you a lot early on find value in games. And I always preach to me, it's like the NFL week 3 through 11 is usually the best spot where you can make money. I think their lines are a little bit softer. They're not as, you know, they're not as well built around the math of the current season, which I think helps a lot. And there's a lot of value in teams that are overrated or underrated. So definitely something to do for yourself out there to help your handicapping prowess, so to say.
I like it.
Yeah, man. I like it. Yeah. So let's move along. We got Matoy's boys, the San Francisco 49ers, headed to Frisco. Minnesota.
Yeah.
The Jimmy G train is on full hype at the moment. And yeah. The Vikings welcome in the guaranteed man, Kirk Cousins.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I'm going to let you take this one for now, Mo. What are your thoughts here? Six and a half is what I'm seeing for the line.
Yeah, we lose McKinnon. Tears his ACL. You know, that's a rough one. We do gain Alfred Morris, and we still got Matt Breda. You know, two capable backs. I feel like Morris is going to get a lot of touches here. Breda's going to get a lot of the quick passes out of the backfield. He'll be more of a security blanket, you know, than most. With the Vikings defense, you know, coming after him, you know, that front four is pretty good. So, yeah, I think the line seems about right. It's went up for, you know, I think what would it open at 5? I think maybe 4.5 around there.
No, I feel like it was kind of high.
Was it high?
Kind of where it was. No, you're right. My apologies. 4.5. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So I understand what's going on, and you know, like I said, an indication of the preseason means not much. But it seems like, you know, we get a lot, we have a lot of offensive guys that are still getting a lot of reps, and, Shanahan hasn't really showed his hand yet on what he wants to do, obviously. But hard to really take the points here. I know a lot of people are favoring the Niners, and they're probably going to take them if the points look good enough, but Vikings at home, have been solid all year until obviously the last game of the season. Brutal for them. Or they were losing to the Saints, my bad, and then ended up losing to Philly. So just them in general, they kind of, you know, they weren't looking too well. But I think offensively they can get after the Niners defense. And then, you know, I think they can kind of open it up on them. So I wouldn't say Lane would be the best deal, but if squares are taking the Niners, man, you know, I wouldn't take the Niners with anyone's money.
Well, I have to tease this one because this is going to be one of my big three games. So you'll have to stay tuned for the next episode to hear what I think about this one. So up next, we got Cincinnati at Indianapolis. Colts sitting there about -3, -05. This is an interesting game to me because I feel like one of these two teams is going to be better than people think. And this should be, I think, a showcase game for that team. And weirdly enough, I think the team that loses might be headed that direction the rest of the season. Our boy Kyle absolutely loves the Colts, thinks they're tremendously undervalued. I don't disagree. I have the Colts and Titans both rated a lot higher in that division than I think most people did. What are your thoughts here? I mean, the Bengals, Colts.
You know, Bengals, they still they're still moping out Marvin Lewis and Dalton out there every other week. I don't know what's going on, but no, I somewhat agree. I think the Bengals, like I said, the AFC North is a tough division no matter what. I mean, even, you know, teams that have played bad constantly here and there through years, you know, they find a couple years where they can niche out about 8 to 10 wins. So I wouldn't sleep on the Bengals so much here. I'm still kind of confused on the Colts. Like, I don't know. Are they going with Luck? I'm not really even sure. I think the backfield's kind of, you know, smoked. I don't know if Marlon Mack is going to play. Seems like Jordan Wilkins might get the nod there over Nyheim Hines. So the number in itself, the number that got built into it, which is 3 now, open 1.5, 2.5 to here. I'm more confused because I'm willing to take Bengals if they can get to like 3. Or if they're at 3, I'm thinking about liking them. But I can't go against Kyle for the most part. But just on the number, because I'm late to the party, I can't really make a call on it.
Understood. Yeah, I think if you twist my arm here, I'd go ahead and take a shot on the Colts and hope that Luck is back. I know Griff's probably got Bengals money line out there in L.A. somehow.
Oh, man.
Hopefully he's found a bookie by now.
He called Kyle. I think he called Kyle.
Yeah, we got to try to get those two in the room, but might not happen before week one. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, if I was betting it, I'd go Indy, but I'm not sure on that one. Not a huge play for me. All right. Next up, we got Buffalo at Baltimore. This line has gotten completely out of control because of how the Bills looked in the preseason. Line opened 3.5, and we're up to 7, folks. I thought this was this was one of the worst two lines when the lines first came out. And I am not a Baltimore fan. I just believe Buffalo is that bad, and I think they're gonna be completely exposed this year. What are your thoughts here, Mo?
I've seen a lot of people already buy off 7 to like 6, 6.5, even 5.5, and just bet a countless amount of money on the Ravens, man. So I mean, yeah, like the Bills, we've already been talking about it for 2 months on, you know, what they've lost. And, you know, obviously they were in the playoffs, but we're a long way from there, man. So, you know, I think Peterman got the nod, right, over Allen?
He did, yeah. And what's funny is I was all ready to back Baltimore, and then they went with a guy who's actually been in the league for a year. I actually think Peterman's an upgrade, at least in week one, so – it made me a little bit hesitant to back Baltimore now because I feel like, yeah.
I'm not even because Buffalo didn't even get worse defensively. I still think they're pretty good defensively. Am I correct?
Yeah, I agree. For me, I think this is Flacco's like damn, who was the comparison? Who was the rookie that got drafted and then the veteran had a great year? Was holding him back last year.
Ooh, I think not for the Browns.
No, correct. I'll bring it up. It'll come to me. I don't remember, but
okay. Yep.
I get the feeling that Flacco knows Lamar Jackson's right there. He wants that job, and he was drafted to take his job. So I could see him having a really good game week one just because he knows that he's got a performer. He's just not going to be the starting quarterback there anymore. Much easier to do against teams like Buffalo, I feel like, than Pittsburgh or New England or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, no.
I know who it was. Alex Smith when the Chiefs drafted Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
What it was, yeah. So I see a similar thing kind of playing out a little bit in Baltimore, but – with that being said, I could also see Flacco falling right on his face and Lamar Jackson being the starter by week 5. So I just don't think it happens this week. I think they play good enough. They have enough weapons on offense by adding Michael Crabtree, the very underrated Alex Collins. You know, they have
even more guys in the backfield. Javarius Allen's pretty solid, and John Brown.
John Brown, that's the guy I was looking for. Yeah, but John Brown, I mean, when that guy's healthy, which he is right now, that guy's explosive. I mean, and I feel like they haven't had that guy. They tried to bring in, you know, the reject Mike Wallace, and all these other guys to try to stretch the field and just haven't had any success. And I think they got a huge upgrade at wide receiver. So I expect Flacco and the Ravens to do well in this game.
Yeah,
just,
they even brought in Macklin. And, man, that was terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus Christ.
All right, well, let's move on here. We're gonna be here all night with these picks. Jacksonville at the Giants. I'll just give you a little insight here. I made this one 1.5 as far as my line. So Jacksonville being 3 to me is just too much. I'm still not convinced that Jacksonville can go to the next level with the guy they have playing quarterback. He's too inconsistent. The Giants had an awful season. They've been probably itching to get back on the field with a 0-0 record after what happened last year. Eli is still a question mark, especially against this Jags defense. But with Odell back, it's just another type of – I feel like he just adds so much explosiveness and makes the game easier for guys like Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram. I think if you take this game, you got to take the Giants plus the points.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm all in. Give me the Giants on a whim, personally, here.
And with that said, I still think Jacksonville's good. I just think this is a bad week one matchup for them. I don't know. My gut tells me it's one to stay away from if you don't like the Giants, I guess.
Yep, yep.
Next up, we got Tampa Bay at New Orleans. You know, Tampa Bay is a complete mess. The Winston suspension, you know, the Saints are 9.5. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick is going to be the starter. He's capable of keeping this a game. Definitely not one I'm looking at all from any type of betting perspective. I guarantee it'll be the most teased game out there. The 7-pointers will be taking this down to 2.5. I could definitely see this being the 6-point teaser killer. That to me is something I could definitely see happen.
Yeah, of course. I like the Saints, man. I mean, I know it's a division game and all that, but I mean the Saints are just offensively they're too real, man. I think they're going to make a statement. I know this sounds ridiculous because they're the favorite. Are they the biggest favorite of the week?
Yes,
I think they are.
Yep.
I might have to backtrack on this later, but just give me the Saints for now. That's fine.
Nice.
That's fine.
All right, man. Next up, we got Houston at New England. Lions 6.5. They had a hell of a game the last time they saw each other back when Deshaun Watson was still on the field. I'm a big fan of Watson, but I do wonder will he be as accurate? And what I mean by that, he had a lot of balls that were dropped last year by defenders. So I think quarterbacks' tendency when they get the lucky breaks with you know, defenders dropping interceptions, it doesn't really affect their confidence like it does when they actually throw the pick. So it's a little bit too small of a sample size for me to really be on the Watson train to start. If I had to play this game, I'd play New England because I know it's less than a TD. And it's not like Belichick and company don't know who they're playing and know how the first game went. So I expect them to be very locked in for week one.
I was just thinking the over. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I just feel like this is going to be a lot going on. It's early. They need a lot of time to figure each other out. So I think we could be seeing some fireworks here. And I'm hoping DeAndre Hopkins tears it up, you know, for my fantasy team.
There you go.
I mean, that's just a personal deal right there. So, yeah, no, but I agree, man. I mean, I think I've seen some of the offshore stuff go to 5.5, you know, heavy juice on Pats.
Mm.
But,
oh, know, there's definitely a lot of Texans support out there for sure.
Yeah, 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 yeah. For me, like, it's always hard to bet against Tom Brady. You know, my usual gag of Patriots to the Super Bowl, which I still believe in every year until Tom Brady dies or whatever happens. But
playing at 64 years old,
always still crushing, man. People are still like, no, I don't think so. And then 400th AFC championship in a row. But no, I like what you thought there with the. Pat's getting 6, man, especially, you know, for a whole year to figure out who's going to be playing and whatnot. They got, you know, the smartest guys there. So, you know, it's hard to bet against Pat's in that situation.
All right, next up we got the Tennessee Titans at the Miami Dolphins. The line is Tennessee -1, -1.5. I'm going to let you all know early, this is my squad. I really believe in the Titans this year. I think they have – added the right personnel. I think they have found the right coach. I think they're going to do a lot better at scheming. Marcus Mariota making the plays for him a lot easier. I'm still a little concerned about some of the offensive talent at wide receiver, but I do expect a couple guys to step up, maybe not to the level they need to for, you know, like a Super Bowl run per se, but I expect Tennessee to be a playoff team and not like the 10-6 playoff team from last year, but a team with some actual teeth that I think can win some road games and maybe even get to the AFC Championship. That being said, the Dolphins are a weird one for me. I feel like they have a lot of talent. They got rid of Ndamukong Suh, which may actually have a positive effect on the defense, depending on how well he was liked in the locker room. It's an interesting game. I could actually see Tennessee losing this one. I could see this being the game where who throws the bad interception or who coughs up the fumble in their zone or whatever. I expect a competitive game. It's more of a coin flip and definitely one I'm not looking to bet. But I will say I do like the Titans overall for the rest of the year.
My man, I have takes. I haven't even looked at any of the game. I apologize.
No, no worries, man. We'll move right along. Kansas City at the Chargers. The Chargers who yet have, you know, I don't know if they have a fan base out in L.A., it just still seems like a hot mess to me. But anyway, they are laying 3.5 at this point. I think this is a little overreaction, I guess. I'm not a huge fan of Mahomes because I feel like he's going to have those games where he might throw 300 yards and four touchdowns, and then the very next week he'll throw for 220 and three picks. I just feel like it's going to be a growing season for him. I think he's got the right type of coach with Andy Reid, who's been, you know, traditionally been pretty good with quarterbacks. But that being said, I think in this game, I think I remember seeing something like the Chargers haven't beaten the Chiefs in forever.
Yeah,
so that's and true. They play twice a year. So yep. I think it's hard for me to not take 3.5 here with the Chiefs. That'd be my pick here on that.
Have the Chargers, like, when's the last time they started off a season well? Like, I feel like they're always in the hole every – I mean, is that right? Like,
somewhere
every
in my year, dad.
Like, 1-3, yes. 0-2, like – I mean, it's just insane. Like, what you just said, like, they're a three-point favorite. It's almost surreal.
3.5. I mean, that's the thing. You had that hook in there. I mean, that's substantial.
Huge. I mean, it's fucking crazy. I mean, it's yeah. a conference – it's a division game. You know, even though the Chiefs got a new quarterback, I mean, the team's still right there. I mean, they know each other, as, you know, as well. So, I like Chiefs, too. I didn't even have a take until you were talking about it. I was like, I like Chiefs. That's so serious. Like,
right when you said that bit about the Chargers not starting the season well, I think my father was at home just shaking his head going, oh, no.
Well, it's nothing against you.
We feel the pain. No, we feel the pain.
I can relate, dog.
You had the Niners run. I had the Niners. Or I had the Bears run. So we understand.
Oh,
we understand.
We were there.
I hated the Bears so much I had to leave for a year.
Yeah, no, that's fine. That's true. Fine.
That's a true story. Yeah.
I cried in a garage a couple times. Hey, man. It's true, man.
We're moving on, Mo. It's all
we're good.
Good.
We're locked in.
Okay. All right. Next up, we got Seattle and Denver. My first take on this, I've been on record as saying I think the Seahawks are in for an awful season. I just don't think they have talent like they used to, especially on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not impressed with what they've done around Russell Wilson. I take Denver here just on the basis of I think their defense just gives Russell Wilson hell. Similar to maybe how the Broncos did early on in the season last year against Dak Prescott and the Cowboys. I just think they'll be overwhelming. I think you're getting a gift laying three. Not one of my big three, which I won't bring up. But that, you know, that's a game where it was just on the outside of my big three.
I don't like Seahawks. That's it.
Truth.
That's all I got. That's all I got there. Sorry about that, everyone.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Okay, that's it there.
Dallas, Carolina. Carolina's 2.5 minus 20. Couple threes out there. Not crazy about this one. I think these are two teams that could be better. I have an opinion either. I expect a good game. I'm not sure. Mo?
Oh, hold on. I apologize. My bad. What game? What game are we talking about?
Dallas and Carolina.
Oh, yeah. My, no, I knew it. I just didn't know for sure. I didn't want to say something, and it was like a whole different game. No,
you got to go that route, man. It'll just be good. It'll just be good. good Podcast Nation stuff, man.
I guarantee it. I like Carolina here. I don't like Dallas here. Man, I just see a lot of an offensive change with McCaffrey getting his first year, getting his feet wet, because I think he's going to anchor the offense here. And then I see Dallas doing nothing on offense. With that being said, like I said, it's only one game. They got a whole year, but right here, I just think Dallas is not going to have enough to hang with Carolina. Cold take.
Nice. Not a hot take, ladies and gentlemen.
Hot take. There it is.
Cold take. My cold bet. Ice. Right. Washington and Arizona is the next game. Sitting there around a pick one, depending on where you're looking. Arizona, Washington, whatever. I got nothing to say about this game. This is a game where I want to see these teams play before I make any like long-term decisions on what I'm seeing. Twist my arm, I'd probably take Washington. Maybe a little more stable. Returning head coach. Alex Smith has always been a real good game manager, doesn't make mistakes. I don't know. I got nothing on this one, Mo. You?
I'm just going to pick Arizona. This is off a win.
Okay. All right. That's fair.
Arizona's going to have three turnovers because they're going to see Alex Smith again. They're going to be happy. Arizona's going to get three turnovers. They're going to win the game by six. How about that right there?
Wow.
Check that out.
Straight up.
Check that out. It's so ridiculous.
Incredible. All right. So we're moving on to the Sunday night game. Big time, primetime game for my Bears as they head to Lambeau, a place that they have many a times been blown out. Line's sitting around 7.5 and 8. This line opeped, I believe, 8.5, if I'm not mistaken. But I will bring this one to you guys in the big three and let you know what I think about the big NBC.
It opened more, right? It was like 9.5, wasn't it?
Nah, 8.5, according to this. I mean, there might have been a few nines, but one of the more respected books that we like is 8.5. So.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I don't even have much of a take, man. If Rodgers doesn't do good, they're done. So that's real. Check that out.
That's fantastic.
Also, let me just put it on here. When Mack and Roquan Smith, when they emerge here as a duo, because I think they got
here it comes.
They're going to be better than Urlacher and Briggs. No one's going to remember either of those guys when Smith and Mack are absolutely crushing and lead the Bears to a Super Bowl. If not this year, within the next couple years.
Oh,
check that out.
Goodness.
Check it out.
We're gonna get beat by 40.
All right, I'm done.
All right. The hype train is going wild. Oh, man.
Yeah, man. They got the look.
I'm not gonna disagree with that. They got some look. They got a lot of things they gotta pan out for them. But we'll see. We'll see how things go.
Yep.
All right. Well, we got the traditional week one Monday Night doubleheader to close out the show here. The New York Jets at the Detroit Lions. Lions sitting 6.5. Detroit. Mo, unfortunately, this is my last big three game, so I have to pass
on. Sure.
Giving the opinion and the last reminder, we will have big three college football, big three pro football, and I will have a special guest that will give us either or depending on who ends up on the cast next week.
Yeah, this coming week. With that being said, I don't even have much of a take on that. I would say good luck to Darnold, somebody that I hyped up the whole time. Hopefully, he doesn't make me look bad. I've been on Darnold.
You have. You've been one of his big supporters. This is true.
And
you were like, he should go number one. It shouldn't even be close.
Yeah. I mean, I said that. I appreciate that. It's probably recorded in one of our casts. I'm assuming it is.
I think it is.
And then on the other side with the Lions, I mean, it's just kind of we're going to take a look at a new look, Patricia there. I really don't even have too much of a look. I would say I kind of like the over. I don't know, man. It seems like I said, a lot of teams are filling each other out. But in something like this, I think they'll be able to get out and kind of get it around. I think Darnold will be at least comfortable enough to at least make the Lions defense look a little bit slow to begin with. So I'll say over in this one.
All right. Any thoughts on the Rams Oakland game, second of the doubleheader?
Like, is the Rams going to be the squarest play of the card? Like, what do you think? Is it
they're
Ravens?
They're going to be on every damn parlay.
We're going to
get some
square,
support
man.
Here because of the fact that the Raiders are like the Vegas team now.
Ugh,
you know, going to be
damn.
So
it hurts.
Late breaking news. I don't know if you saw, but the city is going to sue the team, so they may actually leave after this season.
Shut up.
Yeah, true story, which is pretty wild. I mean, I don't know what that means. Maybe Sam Boyd Stadium has to get renovated for a year. I really have no clue what that'll mean for the team.
I would like to talk about that more than the game itself. I don't know if I care much about the game. I don't know if I care a lot. I care about it. That seems pretty interesting. We're going to talk about that here shortly. Not here, probably within amongst each other. Can I just go with the Raiders? I'm just going to say I took the Raiders, and if they don't win, then I'll be like, I was just kidding. So that's what I'm going to – I want to go with that, Alan. You know my game.
Yeah, I think if you play anything here, I think you have to play the Rams. But I'm not, again, crazy about that, laying 4 on the road. It just seems like a bad spot where at the end of the night it all comes down to the Rams.
Oh, it's so brutal.
Twist my arm, I would definitely take the Rams, so – there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mo, any parting words for everybody?
We talked about the Seattle Storm going to the championship about 3 months ago. They actually got to the championship. They play the Mystics. I don't believe it. Did you see that? Or do you not care?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Okay, he doesn't care. So we're going to go with he doesn't care for the moment. And, man, we're just excited to be here. You know, Thursday's going to be a big day. We got the big three coming up from me, you, and a special guest here. So. We're amped, man. I mean, we're working, yeah. We're loving it, we're screaming, we're
football's
hating
back,
it.
Baby. We love it.
So it's like a whole different game for us, man. So, for anyone listening, I know it's late right now. We're just kind of, you know, we're not going through the motions. We're trying to give you as much as we can, but, you know, stick with us and you know, it's going to be a good ride.
Absolutely. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. Join us later this week. We will have another cast up with a special guest and, of course, the traditional big three. So thanks for listening to Cash Consideration.
Peace.